December 28th, 2019. It's almost time to trade in that calendar that's completely full of all the appointments and all the things you did this past year for a new one. And if you're like the majority of us, that new calendar's already half full of things that you have scheduled to do. This past year has been terribly exciting for me, and I believe for this whole congregation. And as Marty mentioned prior to that last song, he was looking forward to the sermon thought this morning. The elders and I have talked, and my wife and I have talked, and I think it's just a really good idea to end this year with a reminder of all the wonderful things God's done for us and through us here at Mount Carmel, but at the same time to challenge us. And so it's going to be kind of fun and I think productive at the same time to look back, but also to look ahead. And in doing so, I want to take a book page right out of the book. Right out of this book, right out of the key. In his intro to his gospel, Luke tells Theophilus that it is his intention to set down a record of everything that had been going on. In Acts, he picks up where he left off. And so the idea of reviewing past things is not new in God's kingdom. Several times in the book of Acts, Luke records other people reporting, giving reports. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 12, it says, "The multitude kept silent, and they were listening to Barnabas and Paul as they were relating what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles." And so the council at Jerusalem, Paul and Barnabas give an account of everything that they had been doing on the mission trail. In chapter 20, Paul calls the elders of Ephesus, and we think of it as this tearful goodbye, as this reminder that he's giving them that he's going to Jerusalem to be bound, and ultimately that he's going to die in the service of God. But notice that it says in verse 18, "When they had come to him, he said to them, 'You yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia, how I was with you the whole time.'" And then if you go on and read, he reminds them of the things that he had been doing and that they had done collectively there in Ephesus. Chapter 21, the elders at Jerusalem receive a report again from Paul. "When you come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly." This time Luke's with him. "And the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. And after he had greeted them, he began to relate one by one the things which God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry." And so the book of Acts is not only Luke's record of all those things that Jesus began to do and teach. It's Paul's record. It's Barnabas' record. It's Peter's record at times, like Acts chapter 11. My favorite, however, missionary report, if you want to call it that, is recorded by Luke in his gospel. Flip back to Luke chapter 10. If you recognize what's going on, the chapter starts with Jesus sending out the 70. They're going out on this limited commission. They're going to do certain works. They're going to do a little bit of teaching. And then they return with their report. And in Luke chapter 10 and verse 17, it says, "The 70 returned with joy, and they were telling him, 'Lord, the demons are subject to us in your name.'" They're excited. They've done some powerful things, and they want to give Jesus an update. And it continues in verse 18. Jesus says, "You know, good job. I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven." I want you to notice that they gave a report of what was going on, and they rejoiced over it. They were excited about things that had happened in the past. But then Jesus challenges them about the future, about their work in verse 18, but then also about their faith. It's very similar to what Paul did in Acts chapter 20. If we had read on down in the text, it says that he challenged those elders to take heed to themselves and to the flock over which they had been made overseers. And so I want to duplicate that formula. Want to rejoice in some things that have happened in 2019 that make it so exciting, made this such a productive year. For one, our attendance has been up across the board. For the first time in a long time, our Sunday nights and Wednesday nights on average have been up. And that's exciting that people are taking time out of the middle of the week to come to Bible study. Contribution has been up on a regular basis. We had another successful Friday night singing. Beautiful opportunity to interact with other members of the church from other areas. Have them in here. You know, we see over and over in the book of Acts, kind of commenting on some scripture as we go, the idea of attendance, the idea of a contribution, both being fulfillment of God's desire for us. The idea of a Friday night singing, we see in the book of Acts, these congregations working together across the countries to try to reach the world. We had two successful gospel meetings in-house. We participated in a third in that area tent meeting at Elkmont, provided worship leaders for one of the nights and the speaker for the night. Participated in a nationwide door knocking put on by the Brotherhood, you know, and we took care of some of our area, and so we saw an opportunity for Matthew 28 and Mark 16 to be fulfilled in us. Two successful vacation Bible schools. Not only our own here, but then we went to North Athens and took the teachers and took the song leaders and took students and had a wonderful week with some brothers and sisters that maybe we didn't know as well before that week. We helped send Marcus to Ghana. And I'm going to beg you, please be back tonight because you'll get to see through his report the work that you did in Ghana. And so I'm excited about getting to hear some more of the details. We sent a couple of boxes of glasses, prescription glasses, to Ghana so that they could, through the technology that they have, prescribe those glasses for people who in the past have not been able to see as clearly as times we take for granted. And so you see James chapter 1 and verse 27 being fulfilled through that work. We expanded our support in the mission field. Not long ago, we were actually pulling out some money from the mission field. And this last year, the elders have been able to expand some of that work, and they're looking to do it even more so this next year. We kept a stocked pantry, and we used it to provide for several throughout the year. Sent kids to camp again. CYC. Beautiful opportunities for these kids to interact with other members of the body of Christ their age. Another successful year of participation in the Last of Leaders program. The growth that we watch in these young men and young women as they present their songs and their speeches and all of the different things they compete in is it's an encouragement to me. That as long as we stay invested in this next generation, the church has a bright future. We bought a new bus, something that we've wanted to do for a long time. So the Blueberry sits there now until we get her sold. We finished restoring the old building and put it to good use. Started on the basement. We've established, for the first time in history, a dedicated room for Vacation Bible School supplies where our things quit disappearing and getting buried under a mass of other things, and we can actually utilize them. And a work room, and a bulletin board room, oh, and a puppet room where all these puppets are hanging on the wall and are protected rather than crushed in a crate or tossed out in the floor. I love this. We help serve at the children's home benefit dinner. We participated in the trail ride and the yard sale. And some of the things we've done in the past, but some of them were new that we've added. The motorcycle ride, the Christmas dinner just recently that some of ours cooked for. What an opportunity to make a difference in the lives of children who have not had the same opportunities that we've had. And maybe change their lives. We lighted our parking lot. We've increased security. We listened to Austin deliver his first devotional. And I didn't type it out, but I forgot to go back and add Marcus's devotional early this year. Wow. You know, what a blessing to know that we have faithful men who are willing to step in and do such a wonderful job. And by the way, I don't know if Austin wants me telling you this, but he's sitting over there and he can't say anything about it, so I'm going to tell you. He and I have been talking. Austin's looking at going to preaching school. And so get in his ear. Encourage him. What a talent. And what a beautiful heart. We installed a new elder. And new deacons. Watched 13 new souls added to the body of Christ. 13 baptisms. I keep a record of every one that we have ever since day one that I've been here. And it's been a while since we averaged more than one a month. And you know, sometimes when we have a lot of baptisms, it's our younger people that are finally reaching maturity. You go look back and look at those 13, that's a lot of people actually from outside this year. And that's just beautiful. We suffered and rejoiced with Roger and his family. As it's really hard to finish the sentence. As he fought for his life. And then was retired. It's been a good year. And I know you can add to that list. I know there are things that the elders and I didn't think about together. And we might could stay here all day long and go through it. There's another side to it. There were times that we struggled with some sorrows. We lost some beautiful people from the physical world as they went to their heavenly reward. We saw the reality of life in a fallen world crash in on some of us. As we fought through things that other people have done to us, and yet we survived, and we flourished, and we're better now than we were at the beginning of the year. And so it's been wonderful, it's been beautiful, it's been productive, and we have reason upon reason to celebrate and to pat each other on the back and exhort and encourage. And I commend our elders for their leadership. Man, this stuff doesn't happen if you don't have the right leadership in place. And commend our deacons for their service. We see a lot of it, but a lot of it we do not see. The hours that these guys put in. And then again, guess what? It doesn't happen with just elders and deacons. If you do not participate and sacrifice It doesn't happen. And so you're commended. But I want to give you a key. And it's a key that comes from Acts 20. And it's a key that comes from Luke chapter 10. We cannot stop here. Just because 2019 was a good year doesn't mean that's the limit. And it doesn't mean that it's acceptable to sit back and just enjoy that part. Rest on our accomplishments. In Acts chapter 20, if you go on and you pick up at verse 28 and you read, I mentioned just a little bit of it earlier. Paul says, look, elders, I'm going to need you to be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. I'm going to tell you in advance, verse 29, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. From among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one of you with tears. I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I've coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You know these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me. Look at verse 35. And everything I have showed you by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus that He Himself said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so Paul says, look, I may be leaving you and my part of the work may be going with me, but you have a job to do. Keep it up. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Get out there and meet the needs of those around you. In Luke chapter 10, when those 70 come back with their report, they're all excited. Jesus says, great. And then He says, look, I've given you the power to keep going. I've given you the power to continue to do these things. It's not something that was just that one time trip. Now keep it up. And so what? We've got a new Last Leaders Convention on the horizon. Our young people have already been told that they're supposed to be finishing up their Bible Bowl material. Speeches should have already been started. Mass media is due in just a little over a month. It's time to scurry. It's time to get to work. There are countless souls to be reached. There'll never be a point that we can rest on our accomplishments when it comes to seeking and saving the lost. There are new souls added to this world every minute. We got to go get them. Our attendance can increase. As beautiful as these numbers have been, we should be at 220 every week. Broken ground for a new garage. We're going to refurbish the outside of the old building. We're going to start streaming worship before long. Brad Harab's on the calendar for the spring. We've already agreed not only to our VBS, but we're going to do North Athens again. Another Friday night singing is already on the schedule. A fall meeting, Friends and Family Day, new convert class starting. We're going to emphasize from the pulpit and in other ways this year our identity as the Church of Christ, as the body of Christ, and who we are and what we stand for and what our light means in this community. We've already agreed to participate in the tent meeting again. And so on and on and on. Here's what I want you to understand about the rest of Luke 10 and Acts 20 is the Lord is going to continue to open amazing doors for us. There will always be opportunities to do more, to work harder, to reach more. Our job is to seize those opportunities and make the most of them. God can open the doors. God can provide the opportunities. God can provide all the resources. But if we don't seize it, if we don't do the work, who is going to do it? Where is it going to come from? So I got two questions for you as we close this morning. Number one, were you an active part of this past year that was so wonderful? All of those things that happened. Or were you a bystander? Did you see it happen? Maybe enjoy the fruits of somebody else's labor, but did not enjoy the satisfaction of being involved in it? That's for you to answer. Second question, what are your plans for 2020? Are you going to be actively involved in those things and others that come up? Are you going to grow individually? Are you going to be faithful in your attendance? Are you going to serve sacrificially? I am convinced, as good as this year was, greater things are on the horizon. Excitement leads to excitement. Growth leads to growth. So the next question is, are you in? Are you ready to go to work? I challenge you to, just like Paul did. Done a wonderful thing. Done wonderful things this past year. Commend you. So excited for what we've seen. But I think I'm more excited about what the potential is in this congregation. We can change the course of this world if we want to. I want to. Our elders want to. And I really think you do. Let's go to Word. 13 souls. If you hadn't obeyed the gospel, why not make it 14 or 15 or 16 this morning? You know, there's no reason to end 2019 outside of Christ. If you need to obey the gospel, come this morning. What a beautiful resolution to be a faithful child of God next year. And I already asked the question, so hopefully you're wrestling with it in your mind. Do you need to be more involved? If so, rededicate that decision this morning as well as we stand and sing.